The Scoop, here we go. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. John, baseball commissioner Rob Manfred is in trouble with baseball fans. Most
Shocking.
Have lost confidence in him after the way he handled the Houston Astros cheating scandal and COVID setup and all that stuff. Last week, on August 24th, it was the 31st anniversary of Pete Rose being banned from baseball. How much could Rob Manfred benefit from lifting the ban on Pete Rose? How would it benefit him with baseball fans?
I don't know. You and I, it depends what age you are. You and I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, especially
yes.
as a player.
As a player, yeah.
The problem is, like, you and I were very fond of the late, great Frank Robinson.
Uh-huh. Great guy.
Frank said, never let him in, ever. You know, Frank felt strongly that if you cheat the game, and you know the details better than I do, he basically bet on the Reds while he was managing them and ruined Mario Soto's career because he left him in all these games that he needed to win because he had bet a lot of money on him.
Pitched him on 3 days rest,
right.
Sent him out there even though he was tired. I mean, he ruined Mario Soto's career. So just because he was betting on the Reds to win doesn't mean he didn't do damage to the Reds.
I think there are some unbreakable lines in sports, and that may be one of them. So I don't know if Manfred would score as many points as you think he would if he let Pete Rose in. I would do it, but I don't think it would be overwhelmingly positive. Like, if you put a poll out on that, my guess is it would be pretty close to 50-50.
My guess is it would be 90-10 in favor of Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame.
Well, if they're going to do it, I'd like to see him do it while Rose is still alive. Apparently,
oh, yeah.
He's still going to shopping malls and signing bags to, you know, make a living. But what he did as a manager does not immediately erase what he did as a player. And as a player, Mace, you're not even supposed to bet on your own team. But in this particular case, because he wouldn't have had any control over any other players, it would have probably been more socially acceptable than doing it as a manager. But because he did it as a manager, I think it's going to be a very hard mountain to go. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think he's seriously considering it.
No, I don't think he is. I'm just looking for ways that he might be able to weasel out of this and improve his image with baseball fans.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Mace. The Clippers have partnered with CAA Sports to sell the naming rights to the team's new arena in Inglewood. The arena is expected to be ready in time for the 2024 season, but the naming rights will be sold before that. So here's an interesting twist. Whoever buys the naming rights to the arena will probably have to cut the deal without ever meeting the Clippers or CAA in person.
Right.
Because of the pandemic, almost all NBA business is being conducted online. Let's say this is a $100 million deal. Would you agree to a deal that big without ever meeting anybody else in person? If you're going to go into business with somebody for $100 million, would you be okay cutting that deal only online?
Let me ask you, why aren't they meeting with anybody?
Well, because the NBA has a rule, conduct all business online. We don't want you meeting in person. Because
oh,
of the
I
pandemic.
See. So they're doing Zoom and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have no problem. If I was a major company, I would want my name on that building. I would want my name because I know that's going to be a state-of-the-art building in a state-of-the-art neighborhood. I was
and
just
you'd be okay
the
cutting
day.
The deal on a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, I absolutely would. We all are going to have to cut deals on Zoom meetings. Nobody's going to say, I've got a meeting in New York and fly to New York anymore. They're going to say, hey, Zoom that person. So we can have that conversation and let's save on the travel expenses. I think Zoom is the way we're going to do business from now on.
Boy, but that's so much money. I think I'd really have to do my homework. Like I'd have to do a lot of background on the company. I'd have to talk to someone who has sat down in person with these people to make sure I was going into business with somebody I could trust for $100 million. And by the way, I agree with you. It would be a smart investment. I've always made this argument on the show for years. If you're going to put your name on a building, you absolutely, positively have to be the first one
yes.
in. You and I will call that building the Lakers and the Kings play in Staples Center for years, even if Staples gives up the naming rights.
If SoFi gave up the naming rights for the Rams Stadium, it would always be SoFi to me.
Because we've gotten used to it already. like I still call where the Ducks play the pond, and it hasn't been the pond for 20 years.
No, that's the Honda Center.
Right.
StubHub Center became Dignity Health Center.
Well, next to us, I still refer to as the Nokia Theater. It hasn't, Nokia hasn't been in business forever. What, do you even know what that's called?
Yeah, that's the Microsoft Theater now.
Okay, so the first name in gets most of the heritage.
It yes.
gets, you know, if you're the first team on a building, like I still think of where the Padres play as Jack Murphy Stadium. That hasn't been, it, not only is that not the name of where they play, that's not even the building anymore.
Yeah, but we know Petco Park.
Right, because Petco was the first one in.
Right, right.
Yeah, but like where do the Giants play, the baseball team?
They play at Pac Bell Park.
I don't think it's called that anymore, is it? I don't.
AT&T Park?
Yeah, I think it could be. I don't think Pac Bell exists anymore. Wasn't that? Didn't they get rid of that when they broke up the phone? But that's what I thought of too. I thought they play in Pac Bell Park.
They play, by the way, at Oracle Park.
That's like two names later.
Yeah, they
changed it twice because I know it as AT&T Park.
My favorite one of all time, by the way, was the Sacramento Kings, who had that Power Balance bracelet sponsor their building, the Power. What was the Power?
Power Balance, yeah.
It was Power Balance Stadium and what it was, Arena.
Yeah.
And then they went to Sleep Train Arena.
Which is just a terrible name.
Terrible name. Well, and Power Balance, those bracelets are BS. They don't work.
Which one's Smoothie King? Smoothie King.
Oh, right. What about Smoothie King? Yeah, that was another one.
No, it still exists in New Orleans.
Oh, that's New Orleans.
No, the best one ever is, okay, so where the Sixers play and the Flyers play, that started as the Wachovia Center.
Yeah.
Wachovia was a bank. And then they got bought by First Union Bank. So the Sixers, who, let's just say their fans have a reputation, used to play, and the local sportscasters all call this, in the FU Center.
Ah, I like that.
The First Union Center. And now it's ruined because Wells Fargo bought First Union. So now it's the Wells Fargo Center. But it was the perfect name for the Sixer fans, because they were so blunt and direct and used to give everybody the finger, even their own players. They played for five, 6 years in the FU Center in Philadelphia.
That's great.
Which was awesome.
All right, defensive end Alden Smith is officially back in football, practicing with the Dallas Cowboys. He returns after a 4.5-year suspension for substance abuse issues, arrest on suspicion of domestic violence. He later pleaded no contest, a hit and run, and a DUI. Now, he's apparently playing great in camp, but after the last 5 years, does Alden Smith deserve another chance? And if you, as an owner, could sign a guy that is going to be pretty productive despite his rap sheet, would you?
You got to get used to this in sports. Guys with talent always get an opportunity. And the problem is, if you don't take them, this is the old Aroldis Chapman argument, Mace, that you and I had on the show for a couple of years.
Sure.
If you don't take him, there's a chance he'll go pitch for another team and come back and beat you. The Dodgers had a trade for Aroldis Chapman.
Yes.
At the time, Chapman was being investigated for
an incident where he shot a gun inside his garage with his girlfriend in the garage,
holding his baby.
Yes.
You know, and so it was a domestic violence type incident. The Dodgers caught wind of it and decided, we're out. We don't want a guy with that on his resume.
Right.
Immediately, the Cubs went and signed him. And later that year, in the playoffs, the Cubs beat the Dodgers with Aroldis Chapman closing the Dodgers out. Alden Smith probably doesn't deserve a second chance. If he did what any of us do for a living, he'd be fired. But in sports, they have a very specific set of skills that make them qualified, for lack of a better word, to play at the top level, in this case the NFL. So if you let Alden Smith walk, there's a chance he comes back, and the Niners went to the Super Bowl last year. There's a chance Alden Smith comes back and sacks your quarterback three times in a playoff game and you're out. So I think in sports you have to judge each case independently. Like you said today, there was a rumor that the Dodgers were looking at Josh Hader.
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Friday was Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes.
The Dodgers broke the color barrier in baseball with Jackie Robinson. Josh Hader had an incident a couple of years ago where he was using the N-word in tweets.
Well, he was using the N-word when he's like 15 years old.
Right. If you're the Dodgers, can you look the other way on that? I think you can because he has a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Well, for somebody who did it when they were 15 years old is different than substance abuse, domestic violence, hit and run, and DUI.
Right.
That's
so
like the Mount Rushmore of bad things you can do.
Would you cut Alden Smith?
I wouldn't have brought him in.
Well, he was already in. They brought him back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have brought him back.
Yeah, it's a hard answer. Lindsay, would you have brought him back?
I think you're right, John. I think talent. I mean, I don't know if I would have, but I think.
Yeah, that's the question is, if you were the president of football operations for an organization, would you have brought him back?
I wouldn't.
Well, and we, in a weird twist, we actually know John Lynch, the guy that's got that job. We used to work for his dad, and we've met John, and he's a great guy. And he has to him and Kyle Shanahan have to make those decisions.
Sure.
And it's not easy. But the problem is if John lets him go and he signs, you know, with the Rams and comes back and sacks Jimmy Garoppolo three times in a game, then it comes back to burn him. So I don't think it's an easy decision.
I don't know if it necessarily burns him, though. I'd say let them deal with that mess.
Well, that's what the Dodgers did. And Aroldis Chapman came back and beat him.
He was with the Niners. He's now in camp with the Cowboys, John.
Okay, so the Niners did give up on him, and he's in Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. We'll see if it comes back to haunt the Niners. We got time for one more?
Yeah.
Okay. May, starting this week, there will be a new 10-part podcast series called Beyond the Last Dance that is going to pick up where the ESPN Last Dance documentary left off. The podcast produced by NBA Entertainment will debut, it actually debuts today, August 31st, and it's hosted by former Chicago Bulls guard B.J. Armstrong and former Bulls beat writer and current Northwestern professor J.A. Adande, who we know.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I love J.A.
Both of whom appeared in the ESPN documentary. Now, the TV documentary was a huge hit. Will you listen to the podcast? Do you think it'll capture the attention of NBA fans like the documentary did?
I don't. You know, the documentary was a particular thing that happened at a particular time. It was when we had no sports at all and very little going on.
Lightning in a bottle, yeah.
And that's why all of a sudden that thing became such an explosive rating sports. Everybody watched it. We spent 2 days every week talking about the last. We're not going to do that with the podcast. I'm sure it's interesting. The thing about podcasts is, you know, they're niche-y, you know. They have a particular niche. And if this is your thing, you will probably listen. I'm guessing not a lot of people will seek it out.
I'm going to listen because I'm a podcast junkie. Lindsay, so are you. Are you going to listen?
Yeah, I'll listen to it. I'll give it a shot. And I think that it's comparing apples to oranges. I don't think you can compare a podcast series to a documentary.
Correct. Yeah.
Right. Well, the other thing is, like May says, for a podcast, you have to actually like seek it out and download it. It's really ESPN put the full force of its brand behind The Last Dance, promoted
Correct.
It for months in advance. We're an ESPN radio station. We would have guests on the day after it aired to talk about what we just saw. You know, so they had the full promotion of the ESPN machine. I don't know if they'll get that here. I think it'll definitely be different. And Mace, you can go back to the well too many times. You remember what a big hit several years ago, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, was with Regis?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it was this giant thing that everybody looked forward to every Sunday. And ABC just said, oh, man, we're going to milk this. And remember they put it on four nights a week. And pretty soon they just burned out.
Yeah,
they oversaturated it and it burned out. So that this will be a niche thing. I'm going to try it. I'm going to sample it, but I don't know how many other people will.
All right, coming up next, I want to report this, and we'll talk about the impact of it. Alana Rizzo reporting the Dodgers traded right-hander Ross Stripling to the Blue Jays for two players to be named later.
Why?
It's a fair question. Let's get into it next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's Monday. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We really do appreciate you following us to our new time slot, which is Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. The Dodgers, the Lakers closed out the Portland Trail Blazers on Saturday night, and they are now waiting to see who they will play. It'll be either Lakers-Rockets or Lakers-Thunder. The Rockets and the Thunder are playing tonight, and the Rockets have a 3-2 series advantage. Best for us, the best possible scenario, is that OKC rallies back here and they force the seventh game.
Well, not only that, then they win it. Because there was a game this year, maybe the most impressive game, Mace, the Lakers have had all season, was a game we did in OKC. And right before the game, we were flying back to L.A. after the game.
Yep.
And right before the game, we found out that both Anthony Davis and LeBron James were out. Both of them.
Yep.
And we thought, this will be a fast game. Thunder will blow us out, and we'll just get back. And that was a stupid assumption because Rajon Rondo and Kyle Kuzma looked at it as, I'm getting major minutes tonight. At one point, they led by 30. And won the game easily going away. So that's a that's a favored matchup if you're the Lakers. I don't think the Thunder can do it. I think the Rockets probably win tonight and end it. But if you're a Laker fan, root for the Thunder because, number one, as you point out, it stretches the Rockets out, takes more tread off their tires, and it gives Oklahoma City the puncher's chance to beat them in Game 7.
All right, so this slid out just a little while ago. It happened before the trade deadline. The Dodgers traded Ross Stripling, chicken strip, strip day, to the Toronto Blue Jays for two players to be named later. So you may ask, why? Well, the big reason, I think, is that Ross Stripling has just not been effective at all this year. Stripling has he's 3-1, but he's got a 5.61 ERA and a 1.46 WHIP, so he is he's really struggled, and I think this is a sign that the Dodgers are just giving up on him, and Toronto's looking at him and saying he's an arm that we can maybe develop, but that does leave the Dodgers much thinner in the starting rotation. They've got Kershaw, they've got Bueller on the injured list with a blister, he'll be back. They've got Julio Urias, they've got Dustin May. And they've got Tony Gonsolin. Alex Wood had a simulated game the other day, and it did not go well, according to Dave Roberts. So those are your five right now. Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Julio Urias, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin.
All right, so a couple questions. You follow this stuff closer than I do. The old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, kind of pops into my head here. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball. They're 26-10. They're five games up on the Padres, who just did a ton of trades.
Yeah, they made a bunch of moves.
Better.
Yep.
The Dodgers have a run differential of plus 90. No one else is even plus 50.
Right. I think they're double everybody.
Yeah. The closest one is Cleveland's plus 40. The Dodgers are plus 90.
Crazy.
Why mess with it? Why? I mean, Stripling's insurance, if one of your arms go down. If you would have told me they're trading Ross Stripling for another pitcher,
right?
I would have thought, great. But trading him for two players being named later doesn't make a lot of sense. I think that I'll throw two theories at you. You tell me if either one holds water. They tried to trade Stripling. Remember, they put him in the Angels trade.
Yes, they did.
He was traded with Jock Peterson.
Yep.
And Artie Moreno wet the bed and said, we don't want to wait around for a week. That was stupid. The Angels should have done that trade because both those players would have helped the Angels. And Artie got impatient, and the deal got killed. So they probably weren't all that high on Stripling anyway, And does it could it be as simple as Tony Gonsolin, who has been good when given a chance, is now moved past him on the depth chart, and the Dodgers just said, we'd rather pitch Gonsolin than Stripling?
Oh, I think there's no question about that. They would much rather throw Gonsolin, who started four games and has a lot, has a 0.51 ERA, 17 strikeouts in 17 innings, and a .79 whip. So they obviously are throwing in with Gonsolin, who is ready to be a big league pitcher. I just worry about, you know, Buehler's on the injured list right now. You've got four starting pitchers.
Yeah, but Buehler's just a blister, right?
Just a blister. But what are you doing in the meantime? Caleb Ferguson got a start the other day. They threw basically a bullpen game. I think we're going to see once every 5 days a bullpen game, maybe with Caleb Ferguson. I think they could stretch out Caleb Ferguson, and he could be a really good starter. But they're using him in key high-leverage situations late in games. But he did get a start over the weekend and could conceivably be that guy that starts that fifth day.
Well, I know Stripling wants to be a starter.
Yes.
And if Gonsolin had passed him on the depth chart, it's not the worst thing in the world that the Dodgers traded him. He may even have asked for it. Because if he goes back into the bullpen, where he's basically been for 3 or 4 years, it doesn't help his career. If you're not going to, you know, it's the old thing, if you're not going to play me, you and I debate that all the time. Would you rather work for a really good company and not be a featured player, or would you rather be a featured player? Like, I couldn't go work for another radio station and do updates, even if the radio station was better than ours.
What do you mean, go do updates?
Well, that's what they're asking Stripling to do.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, they're basically saying, go back to the bullpen. And that's not good for him. So it may be one of those deals where if they have given up on him, and it sounds like they have, then why not trade him? But it just surprises me because they're so good.
Bill Shaken says, this time last year, the Dodgers roster included Hyunjin Ryu, Rich Hill, Kenta Maeda, Ross Stripling, all gone now. Price opted out. Wood and Buehler on the injured list. Dustin May, Julio Rios, Tony Gonsolin made this possible. So they really want to focus on these young guys. That's the future of the rotation. So you can imagine Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Julio Rios, Tony Gonsolin. That's really the rotation that they're going to go into the postseason with.
And remember,
that's a great rotation.
You know, John Weissman, who does Dodger Thoughts, is echoing kind of what you were indicating earlier. He says, it would not shock me to see the Dodgers use an opener in a playoff game like Caleb Ferguson and go with a bullpen game because the bullpen, remember, with expanded rosters, 28-man rosters, the bullpen will run 10 deep in the playoffs. So you don't necessarily need a starter to go five innings.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting. The Dodgers are thinner in the starting rotation than I would have expected, but they still have more than enough talent to win. And, they hit more home runs with Cody Bellinger's home run yesterday, and I think he's got 6 home runs in 11 games, so he's picked up. He's now got 10 home runs. But with his home run yesterday, that pushed the Dodgers to 49 home runs for the month of August. That's more home runs than any team has ever hit in August. So they are absolutely tearing it up. And defense is one of the big reasons for it, too, their success. You know, we don't really pay attention to defense much, but if you look at defensive ratings and ultimate zone ratings for this team, they cover a ton of ground. They do a phenomenal job defensively. And run prevention is one of those things that Andrew Friedman is always looking at in addition to what they do at the plate.
I think, you know, people don't know this, but we've had a bunch of Dodgers on the show. And when you ask the Dodgers who the fastest player on the team is, they all say it's Bellinger. And he's in center. Mookie Betts is in right. And Peterson's in left. Those are three really fast outfielders.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
And maybe there was no place at the table for Stripling.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing they just wanted to move on. They just wanted to move on from Stripling. He's a great guy. He's a really nice guy. But as Plunkett just tweeted, path now clear for Tony Gonsolin. He's there. You can't keep him out of the rotation any longer. Coming up next for you, let's circle back to the Lakers, who are getting ready to face either the Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder. We will have our eyes all over that game. And I'm guessing that Houston is going to win that series. I'm guessing that Houston is going to win tonight.
I think they're going to, yeah, I think they win tonight, which means Lakers Rockets game one Wednesday.
So here's what I want to know. Let's play a little project ahead here. Lakers Rockets, how do you see that matchup? Lakers Rockets, how do you see that matchup? I know we're putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but this is sports talk radio, and we professionally put the cart before the horse. Lakers Rockets, how do you see that matchup? 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. By the way, over the weekend, and I found this to be just absolutely stunning, when Chadwick Boseman passed away over the weekend, I had no idea he was sick. I don't think most people knew he was sick. He'd been battling colon cancer for about 4 years and actually made the movie Black Panther while he was dealing with colon cancer. But, I mean, this is a guy that played legendary parts, played Thurgood Marshall in a movie that, if you haven't seen, you really should, where Chadwick Boseman plays the first African-American Supreme Court Justice, Thurgood Marshall. He plays James Brown in a movie called Get Up. He plays Jackie Robinson in 42 and, of course, played the legendary role of Black Panther in a movie that that really changed the movie business for everybody.
I think the James Brown movie was called Get On Up.
Get
Up is the show Greenberg hosts in the morning.
You know what? All roads lead to Get Up for me. Yeah. I watch that show every morning, first thing I get up.
It was Jackie Robinson Day on Friday. We were just talking about how it's one of the great sports movie performances of all time. And I tweeted this out over the weekend that the Jackie Robinson Foundation, which is run by Jackie's family, his kids and his wife Rachel, who's still alive in her late 90s, I didn't know this, but it makes sense now. Apparently, Chadwick Boseman, before he made 42, which was his big break, went and hung out with Rachel Robinson and just picked her brain for several weeks leading up to the filming to get her version of all the stories and everything that happened and everything that was right. And now that you know that, when you watch him in the movie, I mean, he goes toe-to-toe with Harrison Ford, and Chadwick Boseman owns the movie. And it's just a tragic loss.
Yeah, it really is.
He was 43.
Unreal.
I mean, he would have had a Denzel Washington type career. Matter of fact, Denzel paid his tuition to go to college.
Yeah, because he went to Oxford. Yeah.
Yeah, and
We've got so Jorge sad. pulled a Chadwick Boseman scene. Where's this from, Jorge?
Black Panther.
From Black Panther. Yeah. Here is some Chadwick Boseman.
Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
And what tools are those?
Vibranium. Your weapons.
Our weapons will not be used to wage war on the world. It is not our way to be judge, jury, and executioner for people who are not our own.
Not wrong. But didn't life start right here on this continent? So ain't all people your people?
I am not king of all people. I am king of Wakanda. And it is my responsibility to make sure our people are safe and that vibranium does not fall into the hands of a person like you.
Son, we have entertained the charlatan for too long. Reject his request.
Oh, I ain't requesting nothing.
There is, I think that's Michael B. Jordan in that scene with Chadwick Boseman. The character that Michael B. Jordan played was not Rampage. I can't think what it was. But it's a great movie. It transcended really the movie business. It did $1.3 billion worldwide, Black Panther. And it was a movie that proved to the industry that you could make a movie with a predominantly black cast, virtually entirely black cast, and still make money.
Well, and LeBron, I don't know if you have this, Jorge, but LeBron talked over the weekend.
We do have that, yeah.
About how it also, you know, how he loved superheroes growing up, but none of the superheroes were black. Here's LeBron.
Growing up as a black kid, you had superheroes that you looked up to, but they weren't black. You know, you had Batman, you had Superman, you had Spider-Man, and so on and so on. And for Ryan Coogler and for that cast and for him himself to be able to make Black Panther, that even though we knew it was like a fictional story, it actually felt real. It actually felt like we finally had our black superhero and nobody can touch us.
Boy, hail fellow well met,
yeah.
In all capital letters. What a tremendous loss.
Yeah,
this
terrible
is.
Loss. Terrible loss. By the way, the thank you on Twitter. The character Michael B. Jordan played was Killmonger. Killmonger. I knew it was something like that.
Played Vontae Mack in Draft Day.
Yeah,
if you've ever seen Draft Day, Chadwick's got a good part in that. And
it was one of those ones where Juan said to me, Chadwick Boseman died. And I was like, what? It was one of those, like, stop everything.
We were just talking about him on Friday.
We did a whole segment on the guy on Friday, and now he's gone. And according to everybody, just the most decent and gentle and kind human being around. So God bless him and his family, and definitely hail fellow well met.
Yeah. All right, so we got a couple minutes here. The you asked me what the Lakers Rockets would look like. The biggest thing, they played three times.
Yep.
But one of the games was in the bubble. Do you agree with me we can throw the bubble game out?
Throw the bubble game out. Bubble games mean nothing.
So in the other games, there was a game in Houston where the Lakers played without Anthony Davis and the Lakers beat him anyway. Westbrook was a bigger problem than Harden.
Yeah.
Westbrook had 35, Harden had 34. Then they played again in L.A. right after the Rockets switched to this small ball experiment.
Mm-hmm.
They were losing a bunch of games, and Mike D'Antoni said, screw it. We're going small. And Westbrook, they had no answers for Westbrook in that game. Westbrook had 41.
Right.
So the biggest matchup may not be Harden, who I know was the leading scorer in the NBA this year, and maybe first-team All-NBA. It's Westbrook. It's
right.
He's the explosive one that the Lakers have not had any answers for.
But it's also, John, they've got really good shooters. I mean, they're shooting 52 threes a game, and they have a percentage of 36%. I mean, that's really, really solid. They're going to shoot threes, and they're going to make a bunch of them. And that's the game. I think it's a five-game series. I think the game they lose, Houston will just shoot the lights out.
Yeah, I think it's six or seven, just because I think that Westbrook and Harden are that good. But I think the Lakers win it, and I'm very anxious to see at the start of the show today, we played a two-minute reel of all the people who picked against the Lakers when they were playing Portland. And I'll be very curious to see if these so-called experts will pick against the Lakers again. Because
I don't think most people are as high on the Rockets as you. You're higher on the Rockets than most people.
I love Westbrook and Harden.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're both really good.
Yeah, I just say go small, lots of Anthony Davis. P.J. Tucker can't possibly stop him. Just eat him up. Just eat him up.
Yeah, I'm surprised P.J. Tucker's not suspended for the game tonight. And same thing, I'm trying to think, was it Reggie Jackson? Did you see that clip? Reggie Jackson was going by P.J. Tucker, and he basically just hit him in the groin on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they threw, and then Tucker came back and headbutted Jackson. And they threw them both out, but instead of suspending him tonight for game six, they fined him.
Right.
Which is what I've always said you should do, but they normally like
headbutt. What would you do with Marcus Morris? I mean, he went after, I don't care what he says, he went after Luka's ankle. when he stepped on his shoe. And then on top of that, he karate chopped him in yesterday's game and got a flagrant two.
Right.
It was literally a karate chop.
I think this was a blatant example of Luka was a guy that Marcus could not guard. He's just, right. I mean, that he had no, so he did the old Detroit Pistons thing that Bill Laimbeer used to do to Jordan. He just tried to beat him up.
Right.
I'd give him a game.
I'd give him a game too. Yeah, I'd give him a game too.
Because I'm with you. No matter what he says, he tried to intentionally hurt him when he stepped on his ankle, and he tried to. Now that's what Marcus brings to them is toughness. But you know, there's a difference between being a tough guy, and then just basically being overly physical because you don't have the talent to guard somebody, which is what I think happened there.
Right.
So I know that's why the Clippers have him, and I think he's going to be a valuable piece for them moving forward. But you can't just let a guy karate chop and step on people's ankles without any repercussions. So I would give him a game.
Let's check in on the phones real quick.
Somebody just corrected me. It was Dennis Schroeder, not Reggie Jackson.
Oh, got it.
Dennis Schroeder. Reggie Jackson plays for the Clippers. Dennis Schroeder was the guy for OKC who got into it with P.J. Tucker.
Okay, let's go to Jason in Downey. Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on, man?
Good afternoon, boys. Joaquin, we're still waiting for you to call in, my friend.
Yeah, where is Joaquin? You can't find him now.
Nope. Like I told Jorge, I'm concerned, but I'm positive that the Lakers will pull this off. I actually am very surprised, Mitch, you're calling it a 5. I actually think it's going to go 6 or 7, like John says. The only big difference with this series is that if James Harden goes for 50, probably even 60, they'll probably end up winning the games where I felt what if Dame or CJ went for 40 for 50, the Lakers would still pull it off because they just don't have any other weapons. But now that wild card Westbrook is back, gets me a little concerned, but Lakers in 6, baby. Have a great day, guys.
I agree with you, Jason, that it is the Lakers in 6 or 7. But
I am so not a Harden fan.
I am more worried about Westbrook than Harden. You're going to hear a lot about Harden.
Sure, because he's going to be out there at the arc flopping.
He's good at it.
It's annoying.
He
it's
leads
really
the
annoying.
League for the fourth year in a row in free throws.
Oh,
attempted.
I know. That's his game. His game is to flop. All right. Coming up next for you, Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Morales is doing a good job today. I need a hot take. All right, it's Radio Tinder time. Lindsay is standing by. Lindsay, what do you got for us today?
Well, guys, Kylie Jenner is back at work, but her business looks an awful lot like a personal dream vacation. The beauty mogul came under fire when she shared multiple photos of herself hanging out around popular attractions in Paris, such as the Louvre Museum and the Louis Vuitton store. Okay. She was able to enter the country on a business exemption, an inside source told E! News. She had meetings for a cosmetics brand, and apparently she brought her friends along to make a trip out of it. And this did not sit well with her followers online. One commented, "You flaunt your travels internationally when people can't even see 6 family members during this crisis. I hope you're ashamed of yourself." Should Kylie Jenner be posting her Paris pandemic vacation trip on social media?
Really good question. I'm going to swipe left. I just, you know what? People all have their different approaches to how they're dealing with coronavirus, but I keep going back to this one. Dr. Anne Ramoyne did the podcast with me on Saturday. She's from UCLA, epidemiologist. She says, if we just went a month with 90% of us wearing masks, it would all go away. I think it's irresponsible to go and travel and live your normal life right now if you're sending out pictures of it. Otherwise, I've got no problem. Just don't encourage other people to do it.
I don't know how to explain this other than for people like Kylie Jenner, it's like part of their body to post pictures. I've never understood it. It's a millennial mentality. If she doesn't post stuff, it's like it didn't happen. That's been her entire brand since she was a teenager. Mace, I don't think she's capable of not posting. I don't think she's capable of going dark. I don't think any of them are. I've told the story a bunch of times that one night I took Lisa for her birthday, my wife, to Nobu in Malibu, and it was Rob Kardashian's birthday, and to the table to the left of me was all of the Kardashians, including Kim, Kanye, Kylie, and Kendall, and they were all on their phones for the entire dinner. Wow. No one ever put their phones down. They must have each taken 100 pictures. It's just the way they live their life. So, Lindsay, should she not post? Of course. It's a little bit tone deaf, but not to her. If she went 2 days without posting, her followers would probably panic and wonder if she was okay. I mean, that's just what she does every single day, and that's how she lives her life.
You know what they say, do it for the gram.
Do it for the gram.
Show me a picture, it didn't happen.
Even if you're encouraging people to do bad stuff.
Yep.
All right, next one. A Japanese company unveiled its prototype flying car to the public with test flight.
Yeah.
SkyDrive Inc. announced the successful test flight of its SD03 flying car model at the Toyota test field in Toyota, Japan. The single-seat vehicle, which resembles a motorcycle, took flight for about 4 minutes. SkyDrive said it's aiming to have a commercially available version of the car completed by 2023. Would you spend a bunch of money, assuming it's going to be extremely expensive, to have one of these flying cars? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I've been wondering where the hell my flying car is ever since the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Remember the Jetsons?
Sure.
Meet George Jetson. His boy Elroy. Where's my flying car, man? My jetpack?
It was predicted in Back to the Future. It was predict. Where else was it predicted? Minority Report. This idea that cars can fly.
Flying surfboard?
Can you imagine how great a flying car would be in Los Angeles? The number of traffic jams you could avoid.
Be spectacular.
I'm all in.
Isn't it funny how, 30 years ago or whatever, they'd be like, in the year 2000 or in the year 2020, everyone expected to have all this crazy flying technology with cars and hoverboards and whatnot. And
we're a little slow.
2020, and yep, it is yet to come to fruition.
Yeah, but back then, nobody thought the internet. Nobody thought, in 10 years from now, Mace, I think all these driverless cars are going to be here.
Yep.
Probably sooner than 10 years.
You're finally coming around. You get it.
Well,
props to Back to the Future for having the Skype Zoom video chatting.
Oh, like, that's right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So,
way before that happened.
Yeah, I'm all in on the flying car.
Yeah, me too. Jorge's in. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Jorge's sent me the story.
It's motorcycle. Like, I own a Harley. Imagine flying around.
Oof, you own a Harley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you go to Sturgis?
No, you can't this year, man. Well,
have you ever been to Sturgis?
No, I've been planning it for, but no.
You should explain what Sturgis is.
Oh, yeah. Sturgis is the largest motorcycle rally in the country. And it happened a couple of weeks ago.
And 500,000 people showed up to it, and Smash Mouth got hate letters from performing at it.
That's right.
Yeah, they could only get Smash Mouth. That's sad. last seen in a Geico commercial, I think. Progressive commercial. No, I it was to me just a gigantic super spreader event, but they decided to go through with it. Juan's sister got married at Sturgis in an alley. It was very romantic. It was very picturesque.
Did you go?
Yeah, I was there. I was at Sturgis. I fit right in.
But I was going to say.
Oh.
You got to go when you can, Jorge.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's in August, so we'll see next year.
Yep, next year.
All right, last one really quick here. An Idaho man broke a Guinness Book World Record this week by eating 107 blueberries in 1 minute. David Rush said the blueberry record required speed and precision, as the rules required him to use only one hand to pick up only one blueberry at a time.
Whoa.
The total was enough to beat the previous record of 96, which was set by a British man back in October 2019. Is there one food that you could eat so fast you could compete for a Guinness Book of World Records?
For me, popcorn.
Popcorn.
I could stuff as much popcorn in my mouth and chow it down fairly quick. The impressive thing about that blueberry record is the one at a time. When you first said 107, I thought, well, I could do that. I could put 30 of them in my mouth at a time.
I think I could
one
do
at a time.
I think I could do 107.
Not one at a
time.
It's
just like swallowing a pill.
Right, but
you don't have to chew it.
No, the hard part is one at a time. You can't ever drop a blueberry. You're going to have to, you know.
And how long did they have?
30
one
seconds.
Minute.
Or 1 minute? Yeah, it'd
1 minute?
Be
1 minute?
So you got to go a little bit faster than 1 a second. 107.
Yeah. You know me. I'd give it a shot.
Or actually more than that. You get 60 seconds and 107. You got to go like 2 a second.
Yeah, I would choose donuts, I believe. I've actually demonstrated I can eat 13 donuts in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that donut eating contest was one of the most one-sided routes. Amanda Brown was pathetic.
So weak. So weak.
Didn't even.
She was so weak that after I was done with mine, I started reaching over and grabbing hers.
Yeah, and we still don't know if Sliwa cheated in the hot dog contest, but I assume he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, the donut eating contest was not close.
Not close. Not close. All right, Linz, anything else?
That's it for today.
That's all you got? By the way, John, you said you thought it would be 50-50 on Pete Rose Hall of Fame.
Yeah, did you put it out there?
Should Rob Manfred lift the lifetime ban on Pete Rose? Should Rose be eligible for the Hall of Fame? 86% yes.
Oh, wow.
14% no. So I think it would be a popular move if Rob Manfred was looking to shore up some support amongst fans who have completely lost all faith in him. Would it have any effect on you, Lindsay?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll take that as an answer. I don't know.
It was very non-sports radio committed there.
Well, you put me on the spot there. I'm trying to think. I feel like they should let him in.
Okay. Yeah, we're on the spot for 3.5 hours
yeah,
every day.
On the spot is part of the gig.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
Eliminate that whole I don't know thing.
I don't know. Where's your hot take? Hot take, Lindsay.
By the way, coming up, should we play again all of the knuckleheads who predicted that the Lakers would go down the drain in round
one? Do that.
The haters.
They're the haters. Coming up next, the Lakers haters. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.